Now turn to part 3. You'll hear a radio discussion about children who invent imaginary friends. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part 3.
Today we're talking about children and their tendency to have imaginary friends. Liz McManus has a daughter called Caitlin, who's 8 now. When she was 3, she had an imaginary friend called Tightener. Liz, tell us about Caitlin and Tightener.
Well, I'll give you an example. One day I was driving Caitlin and Greg, her baby brother, home when she solemnly informed me that Tightener was hitting the baby. So I said, "You tell Tightener that if he does that again, he'll be walking home." 15 seconds later came the inevitable news. "He's just done it again, Mummy." So I found myself in the embarrassing position of having to pull over, open the back door and say to this imaginary little boy, "Tightener, out now." And of course, as we drove off, Caitlin started crying because her friend was standing on the pavement all alone. I had to turn back and go through the rigmarole of pulling over and opening the door to pick him up again.
Wow, that's some story. But in fact, Caitlin is no different from many children, and her invented make-believe friend is far from unusual. As many as 65% of children have had an imaginary friend at some point in their lives. The latest research suggests that invisible friends, far from being a cause for concern, should be welcomed by parents, because they can help children to be more creative, confident and articulate, and have more advanced communication skills. It is thought that these findings will help reverse misconceptions about children with imaginary friends, and that they will come to be seen as having an advantage, rather than a problem that needs to be worried about. Did it worry you, Liz?
I know it does lots of parents, but I never fretted about it. I think I was just amused. I'd be reading to her and I'd say, "Is Tightener around?" And she'd say, "Yes, he's just sitting at the end of the bed." He became the centre of her life. She'd have tea parties with him and he'd go to bed with her. She was shy and this was her answer. I knew she would grow out of it.
Now Liz is one of 15 people taking part in a study of imaginary friends at the Institute of Education in London, run by Karen Majors, an education psychologist and lecturer at the Institute. Karen, should parents worry about it?
Well, parents sometimes think, is this healthy and how long should it go on for? But it is a normal phenomenon for normal children, and it's very healthy.
Why do children invent imaginary friends?
I think that children create pretend friends for many reasons. As safe, trustworthy best friends at a time when they are just starting to make real friends. As someone to confide in, and as someone to play with. Sometimes it is about wish fulfillment. Children who cannot have a pet, for example, will invent one. I interviewed one little girl, aged 6, who had a pony called Minty for several years. It went to school with her, and the teachers knew all about it. It was a really strong relationship.
Presumably, when they get older, children no longer have these imaginary friends. Karen?
Well, my most surprising finding is that children don't always stop having these made-up playmates when they start school. The imaginary friends often stay with them through their teenage years, providing comfort and escape, although in secret. One teenager I talked to had invented a superhero to help him through tricky patches. When things hadn't gone well at school, he would come home and play with a superhero, for whom everything always went well.
How should parents treat these invisible people, Karen?
Well, sometimes, of course, parents get irritated by them. For instance, if a child insists on having the playmate at the dinner table with an imaginary setting and glass. Actually, I myself had a friend called Tiger when I was young, who would sit beside me at mealtimes. But I don't think parents should tell children off for this kind of thing, or tell them that their friends are not real. Perhaps the best way is Liz's down-to-earth approach.
How did you handle it, Liz?
Well, I patiently acknowledged Caitlin's playmate, but I tried not to get involved. I never used to have to get out of the friend's way or anything. Other than that one incident in the car, Caitlin's imaginary friend didn't impinge on my life.
Yes, I agree that parents should recognize imaginary friends, but they shouldn't try to overly influence the friendship. Parents who interfere too much risk driving their children's playmates away. If they try to direct the friends, they could spoil the fantasy altogether.
Fascinating subject. Thanks for coming in to talk about it, Liz and Karen.
Thanks. Okay.
Now you will hear part three again.
Today we're talking about children and their tendency to have imaginary friends. Liz McManus has a daughter called Caitlin, who's 8 now. When she was 3, she had an imaginary friend called Tightener. Liz, tell us about Caitlin and Tightener.
Well, I'll give you an example. One day, I was driving Caitlin and Greg, her baby brother, home, when she solemnly informed me that Tightener was hitting the baby. So I said, "You tell Tightener that if he does that again, he'll be walking home." 15 seconds later came the inevitable news, "He's just done it again, Mummy." So I found myself in the embarrassing position of having to pull over, open the back door and say to this imaginary little boy, "Tightener, out now." And of course, as we drove off, Caitlin started crying because her friend was standing on the pavement all alone. I had to turn back and go through the rigmarole of pulling over and opening the door to pick him up again.
Wow, that's some story. But in fact, Caitlin is no different from many children, and her invented make-believe friend is far from unusual. As many as 65% of children have had an imaginary friend at some point in their lives. The latest research suggests that invisible friends, far from being a cause for concern, should be welcomed by parents because they can help children to be more creative, confident and articulate, and have more advanced communication skills. It is thought that these findings will help reverse misconceptions about children with imaginary friends and that they will come to be seen as having an advantage rather than a problem that needs to be worried about. Did it worry you, Liz?
I know it does lots of parents, but I never fretted about it. I think I was just amused. I'd be reading to her and I'd say, "Is Tightener around?" And she'd say, "Yes, he's just sitting at the end of the bed." He became the centre of her life. She'd have tea parties with him and he'd go to bed with her. She was shy, and this was her answer. I knew she would grow out of it.
Now, Liz is one of 15 people taking part in a study of imaginary friends at the Institute of Education in London, run by Karen Majors, an education psychologist and lecturer at the Institute. Karen, should parents worry about it?
Well, parents sometimes think, is this healthy and how long should it go on for? But it is a normal phenomenon for normal children, and it's very healthy.
Why do children invent imaginary friends?
I think that children create pretend friends for many reasons. As safe, trustworthy best friends at a time when they are just starting to make real friends. As someone to confide in. And as someone to play with. Sometimes it is about wish fulfillment. Children who cannot have a pet, for example, will invent one. I interviewed one little girl, aged 6, who had a pony called Minty for several years. It went to school with her, and the teachers knew all about it. It was a really strong relationship.
Presumably, when they get older, children no longer have these imaginary friends. Karen?
Well, my most surprising finding is that children don't always stop having these made-up playmates when they start school. The imaginary friends often stay with them through their teenage years, providing comfort and escape, although in secret. One teenager I talked to had invented a superhero to help him through tricky patches. When things hadn't gone well at school, he would come home and play with a superhero, for whom everything always went well.
How should parents treat these invisible people, Karen?
Well, sometimes, of course, parents get irritated by them. For instance, if a child insists on having the playmate at the dinner table with an imaginary setting and glass. Actually, I myself had a friend called Tiger when I was young, who would sit beside me at mealtimes. But I don't think parents should tell children off for this kind of thing, or tell them that their friends are not real. Perhaps the best way is Liz's down-to-earth approach.
How did you handle it, Liz?
Well, I patiently acknowledged Caitlin's playmate, but I tried not to get involved. I never used to have to get out of the friend's way or anything. Other than that one incident in the car, Caitlin's imaginary friend didn't impinge on my life.
Yes, I agree that parents should recognize imaginary friends, but they shouldn't try to overly influence the friendship. Parents who interfere too much risk driving their children's playmates away. If they try to direct the friends, they could spoil the fantasy altogether.
Fascinating subject. Thanks for coming in to talk about it, Liz and Karen.
Thanks. Okay.
That is the end of part 3.